And then we started a series a couple weeks ago called Ambassadors, and this one's really just about some of the realities that if you're a follower of Jesus start to become true of you, right? If you say yes to Jesus and begin to follow him, there's some parts of your identity that you might not know that you receive when you say yes to Jesus. One of those is that you are not just a follower of Christ, but you're also now an ambassador of Christ. You represent him in some very real ways, and that's what we've been talking about over the last 2 or 3 weeks here now. Kevin talked to us last week through what the message that we carry as ambassadors looks like, what that is. And we had a conversation around kind of the whole concept a few weeks ago. And here's in essence what we said. We said that Jesus is a king, and just like a king in the ancient world would send somebody out as an ambassador, and that person that was sent, they would be sent to represent the heart and the mind of the king to the group of people that they're sent to. And so what that would look like is there's usually a message and an intention, a reason behind why that message is being sent. And then this person would show up and they would be kind of the representation of the king to the people that that person would be sent to represent. And so we said that this is now us. This is us. We are ambassadors for Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, that's true of you today. And so what does that mean? What does that mean to grab hold of that reality and to begin to live that out? That's what we've been trying to unpack here over the last couple weeks and of course this week as well. And then part of the conversation is just trying to understand how this impacts my priorities, how I live, how I interact. And then what we really want to do today is we want to dive in and get a little more practical and start to answer the question, like, how do we do this? How do I think about it? What are the expectations? What are maybe some of the errors that we might run into along the way? And pretty much everything I'm going to share with you today are things that I have messed up, okay? So this is just like Ryan's list of failures. That's how you should just think of this whole conversation. These are errors that I have genuinely made along the way in trying to live as an ambassador. And we're going to see as we go through some of the passages here how that actually plays out and how we can steer against some of those errors. Okay, so that's where we're heading today. You'll walk away today, I think, with some better expectations about how to think about representing Jesus. I think you'll walk away feeling empowered to do that in a way that is meaningful and respectful. I think you'll also understand kind of what are the big things I need to avoid if I'm going to do that. So that's kind of where we're headed. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, I realize that some of us here are like, hey, man, I'm just kind of checking this thing out. I don't know if I'm ready to jump all the way in yet. I think for you, the way to maybe view this conversation is this. There's a good chance, I remember this personally because I didn't grow up in the church. I remember people trying to share their faith with me. Okay, and I remember them making some of the same errors that I made on me. So today what you're going to see is this is kind of the ideal. This is how it's supposed to work, okay? There's reality and how things happen. And here's kind of the intention that God has behind how his ambassadors are supposed to function. So you're going to get kind of, okay, how does God see me? How does God want his people to interact with me if I'm not a follower of Jesus? What's this whole thing kind of supposed to look like? So you can hear it from that perspective today. And what you need to know, maybe big picture, if you're just kind of hanging out, I'll just make sure you know this, is all of this, everything we're going to talk about today is all motivated by love. It's all motivated by love. If nothing else, if you're here and you're not a follower of Christ, you need to know that part. This is all motivated by love. That what God chose to do through Christ, right? He sends his only son to live a perfect life, die an innocent death, rise from the dead, and then offer to give us life if we believe in him. That's the whole big idea. And so that's the perspective maybe to take this in from today, right? If you're not a follower of Christ. So let's dive in. Let's begin to look at how this starts to work. What does it look like to be an ambassador? How do these expectations play out? And part of where we're going to start today is this, is I want to just get kind of a picture in your mind. Of course, there's the picture of being an ambassador. Let me add kind of another picture to this to try to help you see that so much of the New Testament, right, kind of half of the Bible or a chunk of the Bible that talks about Jesus and the church, that second part, is talking about evangelism through the lenses of farming. Okay, it's a lot of times it's going to be talking about, and the way that we would see it is through farming. Anybody a farmer here? Yeah, no way you're raising your hand at this point. There's zero people who are farmers. I'm not a farmer. You're not a farmer. None of us really know how farming works. But here's the idea. We're going to at least get the kind of the concepts and the big ideas. I of course, am not a farmer. But one of the things that blows my mind about the whole idea of farming is this. Farmers are like, they are 100% dependent on something happening that they can't control. Right? It's kind of wild when you stop. Just think about it for a second. What do farmers do? Well, farmers, they plant seed, they spread seed, they hope it rains, right? Maybe they can water it themselves, right? If they have the ability to do that, of course, now. And then there's a hope that there's going to be stuff that grows out of the ground because they did that, right? That there's a partnership, that God has his part to do, and we have our part to do, right? God's going to make the thing grow. I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to maybe water it. And this farmer's going to wait and then hope that there's going to be a harvest one day. And if God isn't to do his part, I'm kind of in trouble is how the farmer maybe would think of it, because there's a belief that something will grow out of what has been planted and what has been watered. And when it comes to sharing our faith, it's very much the same. That we have the ability to spread, like the Bible's going to talk about how we share the message of Christ is like spreading seed or planting seeds. We're just putting the message out there, and we're going to talk again about how to do that. We're going to pray for the people that God has put around us, right? And we're going to encourage that. We're going to try to represent Jesus with our lives. But then at the end of the day, God has to grow stuff, right? God has to cause the growth. And we see this. And here's just one of the many passages in the New Testament where this idea shows up. The Apostle Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Or another translation would say, God causes the growth. That is the idea. And so you see that partnership. There's stuff for us to do, right? As farmers, as ambassadors, is kind of that picture. That we spread seed, we water it, and then God is the one who will cause that to grow in the hearts and the minds of people. He is the one that helps lead people to himself. We just get to partner with him in that work. And that is kind of this picture of how that plays out. Now, let's dive into it. I want to take you to a passage that is one of my favorite passages when we're talking about this whole idea of trying to represent Jesus in the lives of people. And here's 1 Peter chapter 3. And here we're going to bump into some things I think we can find some of our errors and how to counter those in this passage. Here's what Peter would say. It says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Okay, revere Christ as Lord. And he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So Peter is talking actually to a group of people that are being persecuted for their faith in this passage. And he's saying, here's how to think about it. Okay, here's how to think about it. Here's how to approach this whole thing. And he leads with this idea of revering Christ as Lord. And I think that's the first thing we want to make sure we grab a hold of is this, is to keep Christ central, right, in our hearts and minds. I want to make sure I keep my eyes on Jesus and focus on him and pleasing him, that he is kind of my audience of one. And as I'm able to do that, what that helps me to do is to keep his priorities in front of me as I am showing up in front of other people. Right, it minimizes the fear of people if I can have what the Bible calls a healthy fear of God or healthy fear of Jesus. That when I look at him and I revere him and I see him for who he is, I see what he could have done and what he did for me, that he could have looked at me and said, hey, you have broken my laws, you've sinned against me. He would have been fine and right and just to disregard me, to get rid of me, and instead he has chosen to incorporate me in his family and even use my life to help represent him, right? So when we keep our eyes on him, that sets everything into the right ballpark. makes me think about this in the right way, in the same way that the farmer should keep their eyes on God, that I need God to do this whole thing. Everything about what we're talking about, I'm dependent on God for. I can't do this without him. Here's the next part. As we look at the passage, it breaks down and says, to always be prepared for the hope, right? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that you have, right? Always be prepared. So here, this idea is that I want to be alert. I want to be alert to the fact that there are people that I am being sent to, and what that first thing is going to do is that's going to help me to break apart from one of the errors that we could walk in. And sometimes what the error looks like is this, is that I am simply unaware, right? If you kind of had a starting point of one of the biggest errors of how we miss out on what God's calling us to do is I don't even know that I have been sent and I have a mission to help bring good news to people. I don't know I'm an ambassador. That's part of why we're having this conversation, is we want to be aware, we want to be alert that we are sent to a group of people on purpose, that God has planted us in a situation to help bring good news. Now, there's probably other people planted in these people's lives, and it's going to be a group, a team effort, but I am one of them. And God has called me to be a part of that and to be alert to that, to be awake to that reality. He says, always be prepared, kind of always be awake to this or alert to this reality. And step one is to see that and to not be unaware. The Spirit of God within me is going to lead me into that awareness. Now, just like the farmer would never look and say, hey, what am I doing again? Oh, yeah, I'm farming. I forgot about that. We never want to look and say, what is my mission or my purpose here? I want to make sure I'm alert to it. Now, with that, in the same section there where he says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone, right, who asks you for the hope that you have, he's also in that preparedness. There's an awareness piece of it. There's also a willingness piece of it. That preparedness does not mean that you need to know the whole Bible. It doesn't mean that you have to have all your answers ready, right, to give to somebody. But part of why I need to be willing to do is actually to show up and just do the thing. And that shows up and brings out another error that can happen, is sometimes the reality is, it's not just that I'm not aware, it's that I'm reluctant. It's that I'm reluctant to share my faith. Reluctance looks like this. It looks like being hesitant or unwilling, that I'm supposed to go in this direction, and sometimes I find myself moving in this direction, right? And so part of being prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks me for the hope that I have is asking God to help me, asking the Spirit of God within me to help me to be courageous, right? And to be courageous does not mean that there's not fear. Sometimes we have reluctance because we think things like this, Ryan, I'm not a Bible scholar, man, I don't know. What if somebody asks me a question, I don't know the answer, right? Let me tell you, that is going to happen, okay? That's going to happen. I tell you, no matter who you are, you're going to bump into a question eventually. You know, I don't know all the answers. Nobody that I know knows all the answers. That's going to happen to somebody, right? So you're never going to know all the answers. You might not feel qualified to do this, right? I don't have a Bible degree. I'm not in ministry. How am I going to represent Jesus to other people? There's a reluctance to do that, and an unwillingness to be used by God in that. Sometimes that is an error, and by the way, sometimes I'm reluctant too. While I, in the beginning part of my life, I would say, my walk with Jesus, I would say I was overzealous. We'll talk about that one in a second. What I've found is over the years, I find myself in situations where God is pushing me out of my comfort zone into situations where I'm like, man, Lord, I don't know if I even want to do this. This is scary. I don't feel like I'm ready or qualified to do that part. Like, can you pick somebody else? I feel reluctant. And God will often push me out of my comfort zone and grow me through that process. And he's doing that in you as well. I want to always be prepared. I want to be willing and able to give an answer for the hope that I have. I want to move out of reluctance and move towards being courageous. Right? I want to look more and more like this as God leads me to the people around me. Now, one of the ways that we talk about this here at Grace is this. We talk about it and describe this this way. We say, look for no-brainer moments. Look for no-brainer moments. Here's what a no-brainer moment is. If you're a follower of Jesus, that should, in some way, change the way that you live. It probably changes the way you go to school. It changes the way you go to work. It changes the way you're going to do dating or marriage or discouragement or loss. And because there's a difference, because that's going to look a little different maybe than somebody that doesn't follow Jesus, when that difference shows up, people probably are going to see that difference at some point, and they may ask you about it, right? They may ask you, how are you, they might not say it just this way, how are you able to have hope in that situation? But they're going to say things like this, man, you seem to be like encouraged. Everybody here hates their job. How are you able to like show up with some energy? It seems like you have a marriage that like is kind of working. I don't know anybody that has a marriage that's working. How do you do that? You seem like you kind of have some friendships. I feel like where do you find those people? You seem to be excited about that church thing in your life. What's going on? When somebody tees up a question like that, we call that a no-brainer moment, okay, where you are just like given a softball, just knock that thing out of the park. You're going to be able to point to Jesus, say, man, Jesus is, I'm still learning a lot, but Jesus is changing my life. He helps me with my marriage. He helps me to have purpose every day, right? We're not trying to be experts or know-it-alls. We're not. That's not who we are. We are ambassadors, right, representing King Jesus. And so when the no-brainer moment comes, we can point back to Christ, and it can begin a conversation. And what we want to do is I want to be alert that that's going to happen. And when it shows up, I want to be courageous and I want to be ready to act on it, right? Act on that no-brainer moment. And those are two of the major ways that I can move towards those pieces. Now, and you might say, well, Ryan, I don't know. I'm not like everybody else. I mean, there's people that you guys all know people like this. There are some people who are super outgoing. Every room they walk into, they're able to just boldly love all the human beings in the room and talk about Jesus within 5 seconds. And you're like, that guy can do that. I can't do that, right? That woman is like that. Everybody loves them. They know, and they're just talking about Christ super openly. And you might be like, man, I'm kind of an introvert. I don't know. How's this thing work? Here's the encouragement, okay? In order to be an ambassador in your skin with Christ in you, you don't have to be anybody you're not. If you're a great listener, be a great listener for Jesus, right? Use that in your farming. If you're a great question asker, ask great questions. If you're the person that shows up in the room and whenever you show up, you bring all of Jesus, then be that person, right? You can do. However you show up, it's totally fine. Just be yourself and let that overcome your reluctance, right? Be who you are. Want to look for those no-brainer moments and lean into it. Now, as we're looking for those, part of what helps us is this, is to fight for a clear conscience. That's what Peter talks about, right? He said, keeping a clear conscience. And here's why. If I'm walking in a way that's not in alignment with the king, then when I go to represent the king, I feel friction. Here's what I mean. If I know I'm sent to bring the gospel and to help people know Jesus, the good news, and I'm lying on a regular basis, or I'm living a lifestyle that everybody knows is not in alignment with the king, then when I go to try to represent the king, it's harder to do that. There's friction there, right? Because we know we're not quite where we need to be. If I can keep a clear conscience, right? And if I can try to stay close to Jesus, not perfect, but stay close to, confess my sin, try to stay with him, revere him in my heart, then when I go to share Christ, it's easier. There's less friction there kind of holding us back. Now, This next passage is powerful. Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, right? Be alert. Let your conversation be always full of grace, right? Full of undeserved favor with people. Gentleness and respect, those themes start to show up, right? Season with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone, so that I might have kind of the right response for people. And here's what the last error I want to point out here coming out of this passage is this. Sometimes we don't act with wisdom towards people that don't know Jesus. I'm just going to call this one, sometimes we are overzealous. Overzealous. That's a big word. It's hard to read because I wrote it terribly. Right? It's overzealous. And here's the idea, is that sometimes because there's an urgency, because I realize, wait a minute, these people aren't, if they don't get a hold of what God's done for them, they're not going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. There's a problem there. Right? There's a zeal, but then it goes too far, and we feel like we have to make something happen. So we're forcing things. Think about the farmer. The farmer cannot make anything grow faster, okay? The farmer cannot force that thing. As much effort and muscle and squeezing and grunting you want to do, you can't make that crop come up any quicker, okay? You can water it, you can wait, and here's what you need. As a farmer, you need patience. You need to be patient. So, Ryan, what does overzealous look like? Man, I was a classic overzealous guy when I came to know Jesus. I came to know Jesus in college, and it was revolutionary in my life, okay? So it was brand new information I was in, and I was like, I'm going to tell absolutely everybody about Jesus and all of the things that they're doing wrong all at the same time, okay? And that's exactly what I did. I was like, you know what? You, stop doing. And I thought that this is what followers of Jesus are supposed to do. We're supposed to just call out everything that's wrong with all the people and tell them about Jesus. You're excited and you're wrong and all that's going to get kind of in a blender and all comes out at once. So I began doing that, and that had mixed results, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. Had mixed results. And I started just telling people, as I was learning how we're supposed to live, I started telling other people, this is how you're supposed to live. Hey, you know you're drinking too much. You know you shouldn't be sleeping with your girlfriend anymore. I learned last week that I should stop cussing. You should stop cuss. And they're like, nobody wants to hang out with Ryan anymore because he's going to tell you all the things you're doing wrong. Okay? And that is pretty close to what happened. And here's what I learned over the year. It took me a minute to figure this out. Is this. I got confused about what it is I was supposed to be doing. Here's the takeaway. We are not morality police. We are messengers of good news. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We are not morality police. We are messengers of good news. So your job, my job, is not to walk around and be like, sinner, you, wrong, you're smoking, you're drinking, you're sinning, you're living with your girlfriend, you're blah, 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 blah. We're not double-oozing people on their sin, okay? Well, what we're called to do is to represent Jesus and to show up and meet people where they are. Meet people where they are. If you're not a follower of Jesus today, I just want you to know that's what Jesus did for you. He came and he met you right where you are. It's exactly what he did to me. Jesus, I'm so glad somebody came into my life. They told me about Jesus way before I lived anything like a life that looked like what Jesus would want. And that's what Christ does for us. He invites us into relationship before our lives look worthy in any way to be in relationship with him. We want our conversations to be full of grace. We want to respect people, to compliment them, to love them genuinely, to care about them. And you're saying, Ryan, does that mean that God doesn't care about their sin? Of course he does. He cares about your sin and my sin. But remember, he already died and he paid for it. And what we're here to do is to help them understand that Jesus paid for their sin. I'm not trying to modify your behavior. I'm trying to see your soul come to life. See the difference? I'm not trying to just get you to stop or start doing something. I'm trying to get the Spirit of God to live within you, and guess what? He'll change you from the inside out. That's what happened to me. I bet that a version of that is probably what happened to you. That when I said yes to Jesus, when I said yes to Christ, I was doing a whole bunch of things that were not pleasing to God. My friend leads me to Jesus. I start reading the Word of God. I start hanging out with the people of God. And the behaviors start to get changed radically. So I want to be patient and know that I don't want to get the sequence wrong. I want to lead with the gospel, the good news. And right part of that good news, of course, is turning from our sin or being willing to leave our life of sin. That's part of the conversation. But what I want to do is help people to understand what it means to know Jesus, what it means to say yes to him, and then let the Spirit of God do the rest over time, over time. We're not morality police. We're messengers of good news. Right? Huge takeaway from this conversation. Now, in that whole idea of being overzealous, what I want to make sure to do as well is sometimes if you're a person that gets overzealous, you probably get overzealous about other things. I didn't put this on the screen here, but here's the thing. I want to make sure I don't blend the messages. So this isn't about Jesus and politics, or Jesus and your multi-level marketing thing, or Jesus and your blah, blah, or Jesus and you want to go out with me and make out with me later. Okay, missionary dating is not an awesome idea. Some of you are very uncomfortable as I speak, right? I don't want to blend the message. It's not Jesus and this other thing that I'd like to see happen in your life or this other passion in my life. The message is Jesus. The message is Jesus, okay? So when I'm representing the person of Christ, I want to be clear about what it is I'm doing. I want to be patient about it. I'm not attacking you. I'm loving you. And I'm telling you the message that I've needed. And I want to help connect you to the person I now love. I want to connect to the person that I love the most. And that's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. I don't have to fix anybody. I don't have to solve anybody. I don't have to change anybody. I'm going to spread seed. I got to ask the Lord to work. I've got to wait. And I'll watch the harvest come in over time. The Bible is going to talk often about how Jesus saw people and how Jesus sees folks as differently than how we would see people often. The Bible says that he would see the crowds and he would see them as harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless. These are people just like me that need the same message that I've received. So there's no judgment there. We're on the same page, simply helping. I love how Billy Graham said it. It's one beggar helping another one to find some food. Clear, simple, right? So if I'm overzealous, I want to correct that, and I want to land in a place of patience. If I'm unaware, I want to be alert. If I'm reluctant, I want to find courage. And here's what I just say to you is this. If you are a follower of Jesus today and you feel stagnant, sometimes this happens in good conversations, very real ones, where I feel stuck in my faith. I feel like I'm not growing. I feel like nothing else is happening. Maybe I need this, maybe I need that. Here's what I'd say is this. If you want to grow spiritually, start sharing your faith. If you want to grow spiritually, start sharing your faith. You probably don't need the seventh Bible study. You probably don't need the next thing. Those things are great and wonderful. If you engage in the mission of God as an ambassador and begin to see people the way that God sees them and love them the way he loves them and be a part of the adventure of seeing them come to know Jesus, your faith will grow like crazy. And here's the thing. Some of us have been followers of Jesus for a long time, and sometimes our reluctance isn't because we're unwilling. It's because we've run out of people that know Jesus, right? That don't know Jesus, excuse me. We've run out of people that don't know Jesus. In fact, the stats say that if you're a follower of Christ for 5 years, you start to know less and less people that don't know Jesus. Kind of makes sense, right? If you're excited about following Christ and you tell everybody you know about Jesus, some are going to say yes, some are going to say take a hike sometime, right? And then you're like, well, I did it. I told everybody. Now I need some new people. Here's the thing. Some of us in the room, right, we've got to find some new people that don't know Jesus. I run into this myself in the same way, and I'm like, I got to find some new friends, right? I got to find some new friends. I got to jump in and see who else may God be leading me to that doesn't know Jesus. And I might have to get out of my comfort zone. And our conversation is less about bringing up the gospel, and it might be more about connecting and meeting some new people. Meeting some new people. Less about being at church all the time, although church involvement's awesome. It's also important and awesome to be connected, of course, to folks who maybe don't have a relationship with Christ. Here's the reality. The further we are from the mission of Christ, the less purpose we will feel in our days. Right? The further we are from the mission of Christ, the less purpose we'll feel in our days. If I understand that this is what I'm doing, I'm an ambassador, I'm a farmer, then what every day when I show up in my life, there's purpose to it. If I lose track of that, I forget what I'm doing. What am I doing again? Then all of a sudden, I'm going to feel less and less purpose in my day. Doesn't matter that much if I have a clear conscience. Doesn't matter that much if I pray for somebody. Doesn't matter. Right? All that starts to fall away. All that starts to fall away. So I want to make sure I walk in awareness and I walk in alertness and courage and patience as I engage this mission, especially over time. So, Ryan, what do we do with all this? Let me just give us some practical takeaways. All right, some practical takeaways. Some of us, you're in the room and you have relationships with people that don't know Jesus, right? And you've got trust and you have a level of what we would call a testimony. They know that you know Jesus. And you at some point, you have to cross the bridge of like talking to them about it, right? Actually having the conversation. And this happens, of course, every once in a while in my life too, where I'm like, you know what, that person, they know that I know Jesus and they know that I'm about Christ, but we've never actually had the conversation about where are you with Jesus in a loving way, in a respectful way. And some of us in the room, that might be a takeaway today, is to say, do I need to initiate a conversation with somebody that I love, somebody that I know? And I don't know where they are with Jesus, or I know that maybe they haven't said yes yet, and I want to move towards them. There might be an intentional step, a prayerful step, to say, should I initiate that conversation? Hey, can we hang out sometime? Grab a cup of coffee, go for a walk, whatever. Hey, man, I care, but you know how important my faith is, or maybe you don't. Forgive me for not telling you earlier. I want to tell you about what God's done in my life and what he's done and can do for you. Some of us, you may be in the room and you may be like a brand new follower of Jesus. And you're like, dude, I have no idea what's going on right now. Right? I said yes to Jesus like 5 minutes ago. I don't think I'm ready to do anything you just said. Right? And I know a bunch of us have said yes to Jesus not that long ago. Let me just encourage you. The message to you is not, hey, don't do anything until you learn all the answers. That's not the message. Here's the message to you. You can literally lead with this. Jesus is changing my life. I don't really know anything. I am brand new, but all I can say is, man, I was like this and now I'm like this. I was this way and Jesus is changing me. He's making me this way. I'm at the very beginning, but I'm so excited about it. I just got to tell you, you probably are the most effective person in the room, to be honest with you. Okay? Because if you can go find the answers and you have an excuse, you haven't been around, you can just lead with, man, Jesus has changed me. I'm so excited. And that carries all the weight you need it to carry. Okay? So feel unleashed to share that excitement. You don't need to be shy about it, and you don't have to worry about not having the answers. You have all of what you need just in your own story. Your own story. Right? If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, let me just say a few things to you. If a follower of Christ has attacked you or went political on you or aimed at your behavior or has just been disrespectful and rude to you, I just want you to understand that that is not a representation of how God views you. Okay? It's not a representation of how God views you. God's going to hold you and I accountable, of course. And he has chosen to love you just like he's chosen to love me in spite of everything that we've done. That's the whole message of this thing, is there is a God who is right and holy and just and powerful, but that God has chosen to love you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not trying to destroy you, and he's not just trying to pick on you. What he's trying to do, here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to invite you into his family. He's trying to forgive you. He's trying to show you mercy. He's trying to adopt you into his family. That's the message for you. And if you want to investigate that and learn more about that message, you should hang out here, stick around, and we'll keep pointing you to the person of Christ. That's what we're all about here. Finally, I'd say this. If you're like, Ryan, how do I like initiate conversations with just people in my life, everyday people? Is there a simple way to do that? This is really, really helpful and effective. The vast majority of people, if you simply ask one of these two questions, it's a great way to lead. Can I pray for you, or how can I pray for you? If you ask the average person that you are getting to know or bump into, hey man, is something I could pray for you? I'm like a person that likes to pray. Can I pray for you? The vast majority of people are either going to be super receptive to that. They probably will share something personal in their life with you. They're going to actually feel loved. You're saying, Ryan, what if somebody says no to that? That's going to happen. You'll live. Okay, right? You'll be fine. Right? Somebody may, but probably the majority of people won't. Right? Can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And here's the thing that I know a bunch of us are freaking out about. You're like, but if they say yes, then I actually have to pray for them. Right? I know. So here's the thing. I know a bunch of you in the room are like, I don't feel comfortable or confident praying for somebody out loud. Well, getting your head around this mission, you're going to get that figured out. Here's the thing, guys. We can help you, but it's really simple. You can literally say, Jesus, Jimmy Joe here has a problem. Be with him. 12-second prayer, okay? 7, 5. Does not have to be that complicated, right? You have the ability to do it. It's the thought, the intent. I would even say if it's less put together, it's probably even better. Because they're like, this person doesn't even know what they're doing. This is awesome. I could do that. That was pretty bad. I could do that one. Right? Here's the thing. I was having a great conversation with Pastor Aaron about this, and he was saying, we were talking about, a lot of times when we think about this whole thing of sharing our faith, we tend to think about what could go wrong. Right? We tend to think about what could go wrong. Pastor Aaron goes, I like to ask the question, what if it went right? What if it goes right? What if somebody's life changed? What if God used you? What if somebody found hope who has lost any reason to get out of bed in the morning? What if somebody discovered their purpose? What if they got the shame and guilt that is shredding their life? What if they got that relieved, solved? What if God was like, I want you to share in my joy of bringing hope to the world? What if you got to participate in that? And I mean, if you're bored, This is the biggest adventure we could possibly go. We get to be people that bring hope to the world. Not because we did anything great. It's all about him. It's what he has done. You and I just, we get to be some of the messengers. Some of the people that get to point back to the one who brought good news to us. What if it went right? So the band comes out. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Would you lean into whatever piece of this conversation has been helpful? And would you let the Spirit of God move you to a place where you say yes? Yes, Lord, I'll be alert. Yes, I'll be courageous. Yes, Lord, I'll have patience. Father, would you today work in us in a way that is beyond anything that we can produce? Lord, today we say thank you that you've forgiven us, you've adopted us, for those who've said yes as your followers. And not only that, Lord, today we say thank you that for whatever reason, Lord, you have chosen to put your message in our hands. Lord, forgive me, forgive us for the times when we lack courage, lack willingness, lack patience. Lord, when we just get caught up in our own world and become unaware. Holy Spirit, would you lead us back to your heart, the heart that is for people, that is marked by your peace and your love, your gentleness, your self-control. Lord, would you cause us to look more and more like Jesus as we represent him in our days. Meet us here, even now.